tonight is a nun who has written a book called Miracles Do Happen, and she herself has been miraculously cured of rheumatoid arthritis. She's Sister Bridget McKenna, who's with me now. Sister Bridget, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
We were just talking earlier there, while that record was playing, I was asking you about your book. The book came, did the book come out of your experience of being miraculously cured, or was it a coincidence?
Well, I think it was partly of my healing, because publishers who knew me and heard me speak a lot wanted, but for 5 or 6 years I never really felt the call to write a book. I kept thinking, who, you know, it's an ego trip. But I think that it was written at the right time, because when I wrote, it was 5 days it took to do the book, and people said, oh, you know, you do research for years. And I said, well, I didn't have to do research, because it was my life story and my faith. And so it took off shortly after it was written.
Now, before we talk about the success of the book, what about your rheumatoid arthritis?
Well, when I was... Michael, is it?
Yes, it
Michael.
Is.
Michael, when I was 18, I was in Musgrave Park Hospital in Belfast.
Were you in the order then?
Oh, yes. I was professed at 16. I said, I give my life to the Lord young, which I don't regret. But I got stricken with this disease, rheumatoid arthritis, in my feet very badly. And I spent a year in and out of Musgrave Park Hospital, and then 2 years in Place of Paris. And I remember praying that, you know, my biggest fear was losing the power of my hands, because it deformed so quickly. So in 1967, I made my final vows. I was 21, and I went to Florida. And I went to Florida for hoping that the climate would help me. But instead it got much worse. You know, Florida is beautiful, but it's a lot of humidity. And it was during the time in Florida that I went through what I call today a crisis. Now, I was very happy as a sister. I loved the convent, I loved people, and I loved the Lord as much as I knew him. And it was when I went to Florida that I was very bad. I was told I was going to be in a wheelchair. But at the same time as I was physically crippling, I began to question, you know, teenagers sometimes, Michael, go through, most of them, it's normal to go through a period of questioning. Like, you know, you don't go to church because your mother and father tells you. There's a point in your life where you ask yourself, why do you do what you do?
Of course, not just teenagers.
Oh, not just all of us. Yeah, well, I was, yes, it's true. You know, that a point comes in your life where you can have a faith crisis. And while I loved what I was doing, yet it was like I wasn't totally convinced. And I thought, hypocrisy is doing something and you're not really convinced of it. And I remember thinking, here I am, 21 years of age, I give my life to Jesus, and I don't really know if I'm totally in love or convinced of him. And I decided, thanks be to God, I tell people it was a crisis, but it was a good crisis, because there is a moment in your life when a crisis can happen to make you stop and think. Like, people get it in marriages, to stop and think, where am I going? Is my life in order? And I remember making a decision and saying, there has to be more to religious life, my vocation, and to Catholicism. If I believe this, then I am not totally convinced. So the doctor told me I was going to be in a wheelchair. I was on 34 pills a day, 9 doses of cortisone, was having severe side effects from cortisone. And yet I'd come to the point of realizing that happiness, you can be a saint in a wheelchair, but if you're not at peace and happy within yourself. So I went away on a retreat, and it was during this retreat, when the priest was speaking on the power of prayer, that I wasn't praying for physical healing. And look, the title of the program that's been launched here is exactly what I was praying for, the power to change. And
but to change what? To change your physical pain, or
no,
to change your crisis of confidence?
To come to a knowledge and a conviction of Jesus Christ, like a man selling a product or an insurance company. You can only sell it if you're convinced. And so I wasn't very convincing, I don't think. I mean, I loved my work, I was teaching and all, but I thought, I could do that outside and be married and have a family. Why did I give my life as a young girl to Jesus? So I thought, here goes, I'm going to search for him. So I went on this retreat with one desire. Now, I was born in the Feast of Pentecost, which all Christians know is the power of the Holy Spirit. And I went on this retreat, and it so happens the priest is speaking on the power of the Holy Spirit and prayer in your life. I thought, now if he prayed with me, maybe I'll get help. Because I wondered, would I last in religious life? Lots were leaving. I could fall in love. All kinds of things could happen to you. So I felt, you know, this sense, if Father would pray with me, maybe I'll get help. And at that moment, I heard this, not a voice that you hear with your human ears, but an inner voice said to me, seek me, Breach. So I closed my eyes. And the only thing I said was, oh, Jesus, please help me. that moment, a hand touched my head.
What do you mean a hand touched?
I felt the pressure of like a hand, right, like as if somebody touched you. And I thought the priest had come over to me, and I was kind of amused because he was so far away from me. I opened my eyes, and the first thing I realized, this heat was going through my body. And I describe it, putting human words, like a banana being peeled. You know when you take a banana, because it's all discolored, and you mm-hmm. start peeling, and it's lovely. And what I felt is if something was being peeled from my body. And as it went down, the heat went down through my body, my knees straightened, my toes straightened, that had been in casts, and there was no hope they'd straighten. My elbows had raw sores disappeared. But the most extraordinary thing, Michael, that happened was that I jumped up. I mean, Catholics aren't the most exuberant in church.
You're not supposed to jump up in the middle.
No.
Of it. I know that.
Well, anyway, well, I tell them you can do it for Jesus. They do it for a little football out there on the pitch. Jesus did a lot more for us. Well, I jumped up and I started saying, oh, Jesus, I believe in you. The realization of the resurrection, that Jesus Christ is alive, it changed my complete life. Now, 30-something years later, I'm still as convinced. I went to the doctor the next day and he cried. He said to me, "No, I'd love to take the credit because rheumatoid arthritis is not curable." And I was taken off all medication and I've never had a pain or an ache since then. And I've travelled the world. Now, let me say that while I minister in a ministry of healing, the greatest gift I got that day was a tremendous love for Jesus and for my faith as a Catholic.
Were you convinced that you were sort of on the right path because you were cured of your physical illness? Or were the two sort of simultaneous, that while you physically were being cured, the doubt in your mind disappeared?
No, I think what happened, yes, the two, but I think what happened was, you know, Jesus did say, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find. And he, you know, the apostles were with Jesus. I mean, they saw miracles. And they were, if they wanted evidence, they had enough evidence. And yet we're told in scripture that they all ran away at the crucifixion, they were petrified. Mm. Now, at Pentecost, they were totally changed. And they became, if you read the Acts of the Apostles, they're different men. Well, I believe that that's what happened and that can happen to any of us. I have a great belief in the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'll send you my spirit. And I think on that day in December that I received this tremendous freedom of the Holy Spirit where my faith came alive.
There are an awful lot of people, good people, who have rheumatoid arthritis. Yet you, who had become a nun, was cured of it. And I'm not being facetious here, but is there any sense of that possibly God was looking after his own here? Why did he pick you, and why doesn't he cure other people?
We're all God's own. I'm going to tell you, Michael.
But he doesn't cure everybody.
No, he doesn't. And I tell you, I pray with a lot of people he doesn't cure. And
so why did he choose you?
Well, maybe he was short of help. He wanted to use me afterwards. If I could answer that, I'd be God. But I'll tell you this much, that I didn't seek the physical healing. I sought the spiritual. And I'd say that, you know, if people, and I can say this after 30 years of worldwide ministry, people who seek Jesus, whether they get healed physically or not, their lives change. And that's why this program, The Power to Change, but it's like, if you want to get an exam, you make the effort. Now, I tell people that for me, that I have to make the effort to avail of the grace God offers me. And I could have gone through my life very happy, but never really doing anything for the Lord. Now, what it did for me was, I have a very busy life, I go all over the world, but it gave me a tremendous conviction that the good news is worth preaching, and that you have to suffer. Yes, it doesn't take away the cross. You know, people think, oh, you could heal of arthritis, you have no more. So we all suffer, pains and aches. I take Tylenol or aspirin when I get a headache. That I have a great belief in doctors. I speak a lot to medical people because I think God heals through the medical profession. But I also think that the greatest sickness in our world is not arthritis, but it's all the emotional sickness, the depressions, the schizophrenia, all these things that are terrible, but they look perfectly healthy. And those are the things that I pray a lot, that people, in finding the Lord, will get that healing and peace of mind.
This Power to Change campaign, it's they're using billboards, they're using television, they're using cinema, ads, I suppose would be the word. Do you think there's a sense that, you know, that the church is in a bit of a crisis of confidence itself, and that it has to use new medium to advertise this message, the Power to Change?
Oh, well, I think, you know, the church, if Jesus was, which he is here present, but Jesus would say, use the media. My St. Clair is the patron saint, supposedly, of television.
Right.
You know, now, every means should be used to spread the gospel. Because the media, I mean, I have some fantastic stories about television that I've done. And I believe that if you use the media to preach the gospel, just as the media can be used for the destruction and downfall of people, why shouldn't we use it to glorify Jesus? And I think all the Christian churches, like I said before, you know, the one thing we as Christians, now crossing over the denomination, because this is not just for Catholics, I think, you know, there's a need in a society that's so desperately looking for quick fixes and looking for easy, sugar-coated gospels, that we as Christians have to preach Jesus Christ and the power of Jesus Christ. And we have that one thing in common as Christians, that we believe Jesus is God. And we can all, if we could get people to believe that Jesus is the answer, we wouldn't be having all the problems we're having. We wouldn't have all the people having to take, you know, other ways to find peace. And
okay, you'll be expanding on that theme tonight. You're going to be speaking at the Church of the Immaculate Conception
right.
in Trench Road tonight, 7:30.
7:30, yes. And I'd just like to say that, you know, I'm leaving for America on Friday, but Father Mullen, Father Aidan Mullen, and Father Michael, they were the ones that, you know, really asked would I come down. So I flew in this morning and I'm flying out tomorrow.
You are busy.
So thank you. God bless you.
Sister Bridge McKenna, thanks very much for coming in. And good luck tonight. 93.